We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
So there's no way you would have gotten involved without the game itself.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah.
I don't collect football cards. I love Panini, but as a child, I didn't like buy football cards. So I think what does it for Sora is the fantasy football game, not the collection aspect.
Hello and welcome into the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. I am Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire, joined by a special guest today, somebody I've been wanting to have on the podcast for a while since my So Rare journey has started. He is the creator of So Rare Data, or So Rare Data, as he pronounces it himself. But maybe I'm slightly Americanizing or non-mathematically saying it. But Maxime, you go by Maxime HG. Yeah. And I think it's because a lot of people are intimidated to pronounce your surname. So if you could just give it to me so that I don't have to mess it up myself, that would be great.
Yeah, the French pronunciation is actually Hagenbourget.
I wouldn't have come close.
Yeah, but I'm really curious to see how American people pronounce it. So, but yeah, people call me HG because it's simpler, basically. And I don't want to give them a hard time pronouncing my name. So, yeah.
My last name's fairly easy to pronounce for us Americans. I don't know if we struggle overall just pronouncing them, but I joked around. I think it was with Black, who we're both friendly with, that I usually try to get my podcast guests to say surnames first if I don't know how to say them, and then whatever they say is what I go with, whether it's right or wrong. So thank you for using that. But thank you for coming on. And thank you for creating what I think might be one of the most impressive websites I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, thanks. Yeah. And what can I say? Great if you love it. Maybe we'll talk about it later, but it's actually 1 year old, like in 5 days.
Oh, all right.
So time goes fast, especially when you're under basically a 10-month lockdown. So yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Gives you plenty of time to work on the site though. So that's a benefit, I guess.
Yeah.
So you've obviously been on So Rare for quite a while. What drew you to the site? I know, I'll be honest, I listened to your podcast with Hybe on the regular, the kind of the main So Rare podcast. So I don't want to force you to go through all of that again, but I think at least for our listeners, it'd be nice to hear like kind of how you got, I know you had more of a blockchain background before So Rare specifically. So if you could just walk through that a little bit, so we know who we're talking to.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm actually still working full time for a company called Blockchain Partner, and basically the leading consulting firm in France for blockchain technologies. And so I'm the CTO of the company. So yeah, I have a pretty good technical background surrounding blockchain technologies.
Sure.
Nicolas, so the SoRare CEO, was working with a company called Stratum in France, and we interacted with him through Blockchain Partner. And when he launched SoRare, I say SoRare, he says Sora. I don't know what's the correct pronunciation, but I say SoRare anyway.
Okay.
He told us, yeah, we're launching the game. Would you like to see what's going on? And I was at first interested in the technical part of it, because they were on a blockchain that was called Loom and was really scalable compared to Ethereum right now. I had a call with Adrien, the CTO of Sora. And when they started launching the game, I deposited some ETH. I don't know how you say it.
I go back and forth, to be honest.
Yeah. Bought some random players. And that was back in 2019. When the game started to be a bit bigger with the additions of big teams. Like when Nantes arrived on Sora, basically it was, I think, October 2019 or something. 2019. Yeah, that's a long time ago, actually. I started building my own database. So I can have an edge on other people, because I knew how to get into Loom, so the network they were using. And so I had like all the auctions data, all the market data directly into my own database. I could bid on an auction while the website was down. It's something you cannot do anymore with the current bidding system, but that was pretty fun, actually. When the game got bigger and bigger in March 2020, then I decided to build a website that was easier for me to browse and to do things, and started to go public like in June. I released the website in June. I started a Twitter account last March, and from there it just got bigger and bigger every month. And it's a fun and wide ride, actually, I think. And you start buying Belgian players you don't even know who they are. You don't even know if they are playing.
Yep.
And then you have I have a gallery of like 200 players. Some of them I still don't know who they are. and I'd never watched them play, but some of them are really cool. I own like Bayern players, and that's a really great experience to actually own a card and root for this player when he's playing, because you actually can win something out of a player performance. Basically my very short SoRare journey until now.
One of my favorite things about SoRare is turning out to be passionate about a specific player that I didn't know existed a week ago, B, have never seen in person, and C, never have watched on television or anything, and yet I'll become their biggest fan as long as they have a little green scork one week in a specific game week.
Yeah.
So why make why share everything that you had? Like, thank you for doing that. But like, what was the moment where you said, like you said, you wanted to create the website just so it was easier to kind of get through everything. But there's another step after that of deciding you're going to share this with other people for free, which is a big step because I don't know how anybody plays SoRare without using SoRare data. And so I think that site alone is responsible for a lot of people either wanting to play or getting better as they play.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't play SoRare. I mean, I would be frustrated without SoRare data right now because... it's okay that SoRare doesn't show everything, doesn't show every data, doesn't show the story of all auctions, all offers. If you dig deep into the website, you can find anything that you want, but it's not displayed, like it's not shown like easily. But I didn't really think it through because I think if I kept everything for myself, I probably would have been a great SoRare manager, but actually I would say average SoRare manager. Like last game week, I just managed to get the Division 4 All-Star Eth reward. Mm-hmm. But mainly it's an opportunity for me to build a website from scratch. It's also a great thing to me because on my full-time work, I'm not coding so much anymore. I'm talking with clients. I have a technical expertise, but I don't do web development or backend development that much.
Right.
So that was a great opportunity for me to keep building my technical expertise. And yeah, it's a great opportunity to build a company around SoRare, around something I love. Blockchain and also soccer, or I say football in France. But
yeah, that's okay. Fine.
But yeah, it's a great opportunity, and I don't think I would have been, let's say, more profitable with keeping all the data to myself rather than building a great website. Hopefully, I hope it will be great at some point, but. Helping all managers to have a good SoRare experience, because if I keep everything to myself, most probably someone is going to do something about it, and someone is going to do a website doing what I could. And also, if I build something that helps manager, it has an impact on the value of my cards, because if lots of players play, then they, if I have good cards, they will get sold for much more than I bought them. So, opportunity, and also helping SoRare and the ecosystem, and to myself, it's a great experience on the technical, but also on the personal side. I've met tons of people that I've, met virtually because I can't go out. But, we talk to the same, I would say, American community, like Surface Black and the guys over there. And it's great talking to people that you would have never talked to without spending money on digital cards. a great experience overall. And I definitely do not regret releasing all the data to everyone.
Yeah, I think what was amazing to me when I started, and I had no blockchain experience at all. In fact, all of the blockchain experience I have is just with SoRare. So it's not even that, not that I've taken off with it, but the fact that everything is kind of publicly available and SoRare themselves, include some information on their site, but the amount that you have on SoRare data, just, it's like, we think we have this much, and it turns out there's actually this much, and being able to see it all. I was scrolling through the completed offers today, which was a page that like I knew existed, but I hadn't really clicked through it, and I lost myself in it. I was 15, 20 minutes in just looking line by line, and it's totally a site that you can get lost on because there's just so much there. Was there any point where you thought that maybe we were sharing, not that we were sharing too much because it's all public anyway, but that maybe there were some things that they didn't want public that was going to be out, like all the offer, you know, private offers or whatnot?
I think Soya has the best mindset for a company on doing something on blockchain. They are okay with everything being public, and they don't really care about showing stuff that is public anyway. But one thing was very difficult for some Soya Data users was showing ETH balance on the website, because for some people it gives an edge, because you know that you have more money available than another one, so you can outbid them to the point that they can't bid anymore.
Yep.
And I had a lot of people asking me, can you not show this, please? And I said, sorry, but if I do it, it's because it's public and someone else can do it. And if someone else with the technical abilities can do it, then, I mean, everyone should be on the same level.
Yeah.
Why the guys able to get this info should keep it to themselves. That was one instance that was like pretty tricky, but I think since everything is public, you can't go against that. I mean, the manager stats section also is pretty controversial for some people because you know exactly what someone has spent on the game. I mean, exactly, sometimes it's a bit off, but like it's basically the big picture is correct.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that he spent like 50 ETH on cards and got back 100 ETH for some example. And some people are afraid that tax, IRS in the US could come on Soya Data and see, oh, this guy has made like 50Ks on Soya.
Right.
And he didn't tell us anything. So, and to these people, I say, sorry, but you are playing actually completely transparent game.
Mm-hmm.
And if Soya Data is not there, they will find a way to get the info and to call you and say, hey, you owe us money. So the blockchain and all this transparency stuff is a completely different mindset of what we're used to. And for some people, it's pretty hard to adapt to it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot about SoRare that is conceptually very new to people, and so people don't like new things, and so, or changes at least. So I think that obviously can throw them off. So you did the SoRare podcast with Hybe in, I think it was December, and at that time he asked you a question of what page on the site you thought was underutilized as much that you thought, and I was shocked that the answer was the card finder. Because I don't know how you play without that card finder. Like, it just makes it so much easier to find what you're looking for. Is that still the case now that today is March 26th? Do you think that people are taking advantage of the right pages on SoRare Data?
I think, no, right now, I wouldn't say it's the card finder that is underused, but I don't use personally the card finder, but I'm not trading so much and I'm not looking so much for cards, so it maybe doesn't apply to me. But one thing I use every game week, before every game week, is the lineup builder. And it was called Players Breakdown for some time, and I renamed it to the lineup builder now. And I mean, the SoRare lineup builder is fine. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's cool. It does what it's supposed to. But I mean, having a kind of sandbox to do lineups in advance, also building lineups with other stats than are shown on the Soya lineup builder, is something I really like. And it's not that used. It's like I released it like 3 or 4 months ago, and I would say only 6,000 lineups have been built through it. So I'm looking to change it a bit. It's not really accessible on mobile. Maybe that's why also people don't use it that much. But I'm planning to display something called, if you know stats, you already heard of it. It's called expected something. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking to release something called expected SO5, an expected Sora score based on every stat over the past 5 games, and also stats from the player opponent. So I'm looking forward to releasing this feature before next game week.
Ooh.
And hopefully people won't get too excited and say, oh, he says, like Sorata says, that he's expected to score 70 points, so he will score 70 points. But I guess that's expected goals in the soccer industry are widely used. I don't know why, but some people rely on it. So I guess it has some kind of value. And if I can do something that is actually using all the stats I have, I think I can do something pretty good, and it could help like people really easily see who are the players that have basically a good matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And also that will help me build like automatic lineups for people. If you don't have time to build lineups and want to like get Sora that has best 5 players,
yep,
like you click on a button and it says play those guys. And so it opens a ton of things that are really cool if I build this. So yeah, to answer your question, lineup builder not used at all, and I'm looking forward to make it more accessible and make it even more useful.
As somebody who works on fantasy point projections for mostly daily fantasy stuff, if you project somebody for 70 points and they score 68, you're going to get complaints.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah. I know, and that's why I need to do a good job like branding it not too aggressively and saying, yeah, here's the formula, here's how we are going to compute this value, it's going to be used this way, use it if you want to, but don't complain, we don't care about your complaint. Really, I have no time for it. It's something I'm pretty, I don't know, sad to say, but I do not have time to answer to someone that said, like, he was supposed to score 70, he scored 68. To me, 68 for 70 expected is
fantastic.
Very good.
Yeah. I think it's mostly that people don't understand what projections really are. And so that's more their problem than ours. But so then what are the more popular pages on the site? Like, I always curious, like, kind of what the masses use, because I have this, you know, certain pages that I go to all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, like, what are the more popular ones on So Rare Data?
Basically, the Game Week Center and the SO5 results page is, yeah, pretty much the number one section. Because, you know, having a page where all your lineups are is basically something that is really simple but is not on Sora.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy, but that's an easy page that has been in there for like the beginning of the website, and so people are used to it and people like it. So it's pretty much used. And also ongoing oceans page has pretty good traffic. But I wouldn't say there's one section of the website that is used more than another one, but also side games are the play section on the website has good traction right now, and that's something I'm really happy about. building side game is something really fun, and I'm looking forward to do more on this. Let's say Game Week Center and side games.
I think I'm glad you brought up the side games, because I was going to bring it up anyway at some point. It does seem like yours are the most popular side games. I don't know if they possibly have been around longer and that's why, but it seems like all of the kind of the big players on So Rare play your side games. Yeah. Did you set those up mostly because you wanted the cards just to have more utility somewhere else, or was there kind of an alternate reason for setting those up originally?
Yeah, I guess more utility is always good, so that's a reason. But I guess no one was really building a side games platform, and since I had built the lineup builder, I was able to have pretty easily a lineup builder for other competitions than SO5. So that was pretty natural, I would say. And you see, competitions or side games organized on the Discord server, the Sora Discord server, that was pretty painful. So also proposing something a bit more exciting and also a bit more... not exciting, but pretty more UX friendly, I mm-hmm. would say, was something I had in mind. And also, I want to explore this use case, because right now I'm struggling to see a good business model for websites that only rely on side games, because how do you make money if you're a company that has to distribute prizes to people so that they can come and enjoy your game, and also not make them pay for entering the competition. Right now I'm operating in France, so gambling issues are issues I don't want to be a part of, and you have to do free to enter competitions. But I want to see if, companies or football teams or even players want to brand a data competition with their company or with their name or something. And also maybe have companies say, okay, we'll distribute 10 rewards to the best 10 players, but to enter the competition, you have to sign up on our website, etc. So that's also a way to explore if I can make money. That's also a thing through side games, mm-hmm. but without having 10 euro or $10 fee to enter a competition.
So all of them are, I guess we'll call it SO11, right?
Do
you have...
Except the Cups.
SO5. Do you think you'll stick kind of with those size teams, or are you open to any sort of side game that you can think of?
I guess SO11 or SD11, because it's not on Soria. It's the most natural thing, because there are 11 players on the pitch. So I think it's pretty natural, and the more the cards are released, the more people will be able to actually line up 11 players. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really afraid of people saying, yeah, I don't have enough players. I think especially if we see another scarcity being added to the game, that won't be a problem. But I guess 11 players with 4 subs is something I like, and if I see something that's better or it looks fun, why not? I have tweeted yesterday to Antoine Griezmann, because he posted a tweet saying I have a team, and something I really want to see is giving the same players to every person playing in a competition, the same cards, and you have 50 cards, he has 40-ish cards, mm-hmm. and say, let's see who's the best manager. Let's meet and let's do a cup. And he didn't answer. I didn't expect him to answer.
Not yet.
He did that. That would have been fun. But why not give like a player signed jersey to the winner or card of the player if he's on Sorare? But yeah, that's also a side game I want to explore and something I think I'm going to do next month.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. More utility is always nice. I'm not sure we all take advantage of it like we should, but just having more options for these cards that with all the stuff that went on with Football Index and Footstock, yeah, that people are concerned about what happens. But we kind of forget that we own these cards and can kind of take them anywhere. So if we can use them in other places, it kind of gives us a little more comfort, I guess, in investing more of our money into the site. So it seems like a lot of the stuff comes from community suggestions, this kind of, yeah, stuff that you build. What were some of the bigger ones that came from the community that you've implemented onto the site?
Well, that's a good question. I would say pretty much everything. The main features are there because I needed them as a manager when I was building the website. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just me as a player that sees an opportunity building a feature because I need this feature to play the game. But sometimes just people reaching out on Discord or on Twitter saying, "Hey man, can you do this?" And I have to say sometimes it's a bit frustrating to have so many people saying, "Hey, can you do this?" But sometimes it's great because it's actually great ideas and I love implementing great ideas. But nothing comes up to my mind right now, but
I do
let's
think...
say that points to next reward. Like the last thing I added to the SO5 results page, that's something like you guys on the US Discord were asking me, and I think that is a great idea. And I'm also looking forward to add all the available rewards, like say it says right now 28 points, for example, to the next reward, but you can click on a little arrow on the side and see all the rewards that are available for this tournament and see you need 36 points to the next one, etc. And that's the kind of stuff that I don't know if Sora is going to build it soon or ever. And that's the kind of features that for core, hardcore Sora players, that is actually very helpful because you don't have to go to the standings and see where you are and where the others are, where the reward is, what's the next threshold, etc. So yeah, anything that helps managers is something I want to implement.
Do you think this? Do you think you build stuff like, obviously the site was built? It started because you wanted to use it yourself as a player, and I think the best thing about the site is that it clearly is built by somebody who plays, and there are a lot of tools for different fantasy games that are built by people who think they know how the game is played, but they don't actually play it, and so there's some big gaps that in terms of what people want versus what people actually need. But I think just the way that everything is broken down is clearly from somebody who plays. So that's definitely appreciated. One of the things that I was curious, and not to drop a, "Hey, can you add this," in the middle of a podcast, but I'm going to do it anyway. Cause you mentioned that, cause basically everything that's on the site now is kind of what's going on now or what has happened previously. And you were talking about, yeah, this expected score, which is now kind of projecting what's going to happen in the future. I was curious, instead of expected fantasy points or SO5 points, kind of an expected, and I look at this on a player level of trying to figure out where everyone will be using their cards. So like, if you could see all the Robert Lewandowski rare cards, and you know you can play them in Champion Europe D4, D3, All-Star D4, D3, and where those cards tend to get played.
Yeah.
To give you kind of a better idea of if I have one, do I want to play it where everyone else has one as kind of a hedge, or is nobody playing it here, so I want to play there? Is that doable?
Yeah, everything is doable. you just need to put it to put the work. But yeah, that's really interesting. And there's a part of the game itself that I didn't explore so much yet. It's like what you say is really interesting. Like when you saw like all these guys paying tens of thousands of dollars for Cristiano Ronaldo or Mbappe cards, and the next time you go on the Game Week Center for the next game week and you see that only 50% of the Mbappes were played, it's something that is really interesting, but I didn't right now find a way to actually help people to build their lineup according to these stats. And there's so much work to do and so much things to explore. But yeah, just saying like, oh, you're going to play Mbappe here, just so you know, last 5 game weeks, there were many used in D4 or many used in D3. That's something that is, I would say, pretty easily doable. But at the same time, you have to display this kind of information the right way. Mm-hmm. The fact is, I'm only a full stack developer. I'm not a UX designer or something. And sometimes I struggle. I can show a piece of information, but I don't know how to show it. So that's the struggle for these kind of things. But yeah, definitely helping people understand also, do you really need to put or to use 2 super rare cards in D3? Is it really worth it? My feeling is that is definitely not worth it, because the if you see the preview 5 or 10 game weeks, for example, I think consistently the D3, threshold to get a reward is lower than actually the D4 threshold. So I would say that for Champion Europe, for example. I don't know for the other divisions, but and that is something people don't know and people don't really see, because because otherwise we would have seen like a shift between those thresholds. Mm-hmm. But but how do you show the information is something really difficult, and also make it pretty accurate is also also a struggle. But yeah, something I have in mind, and that would be very helpful. But something like the next step for Soraya Data overall is let Soraya Data build these lineups for you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't trust us, or if you don't trust math or anything, that's okay. But just if you don't want to, if you're like 10 minutes before the deadline and you don't know who you are going to play, let's try our suggestions. But also, why not letting other managers building lineups for people? Like, that's something that is already available, and that's something pretty much no one knows. That if you go to the lineup builder of a manager, like let's say Zuro, that he has a big Gary, you can build the lineups that you think are good for him and tell him, hey, look, I built your lineups. Do you want to use them? And if you use them, like, give something to me if you win rewards or something. And also, that makes a lot of sense with side games, because if you are in the World Class League, that is the best league in the Soraya Data leagues, well, you have a good reputation. You can say, hey, look where I am. And if you want me to build your lineups, I can do it. And we can find some kind of deal to do it. So, yeah. It opens a lot of opportunity, but yeah, the main thing would be building lineups automatically, and the information that you talk about in your question would be really helpful to do this.
Do you think more of the improvements that you put in now are for the kind of the hardcore users with lots of cards, or do you think, like, do the suggestions that you get tend to come from people who have played for a while and they just say, I always do this, but I think you might be able to do it better? Or is it new people that say, hey, have you ever thought of implementing this, whatever new idea they have?
I think it's both, but the sad thing about Soralata is that if you're a beginner and you don't know how Sorare works, maybe Soralata will help you a bit, but for example, I don't support rookie leagues anymore because there are so many players, and it's not that interesting to me because it's basically common cards, and common cards are different from blockchain cards, so it's a bit difficult to handle them properly. But I'd say both kind of people ask me stuff, and I like people that come on the website, don't know anything about it, and say, hey, why this, for example, because I need this kind of feedback. But I think anyway that Soralata is built for players that want to go deep in the Sora experience, but also having like some features, for example, like auto lineup building is also something that is interesting for new players, because you don't really know how to do it first, and you maybe want a kickstart for your team and also see suggestions. So I'm still trying to have features that are good for any kind of user, but clearly I'm still building for those who have, let's say, 20 cards or something, or at least are trying to scout for more cards and buying more cards.
Yeah, I would assume those are the people who are using the site more anyway. So
yeah.
It certainly makes sense to build stuff in their directions. Do you think the new scarcity that is coming out at some point changes Sorare data much, or is it just another page, you know, just longer pages?
Yeah, I don't know. It all depends on how they do it, because if you have another way to sell these cards, that's another thing I have to implement. And let's say if it's not blockchain cards, it will be very difficult. But on the other side, I don't see how they would introduce a new scarcity and not use blockchain for it. Right. So I don't expect, it's an NFT, but it's not on a blockchain, so it's not an NFT. It would be weird. It's okay for common cards. It's onboarding stuff, okay. But for a new scarcity, I don't think they will not use blockchain. So. But I don't expect new scarcity to come up before they find a scaling solution. And so when they do, I will be knowing a lot more about what's coming up for me.
Do you think it changes the game much?
No. I think it improves it. And for the third-party ecosystem, it's also very interesting to have like more scalability and more, well, have a... Like before, on Loom, you were actually bidding on the blockchain. And so anyone was able to do anything on the blockchain directly. So that was really great, because I could have Soradata let people bid on Soradata directly and not go on Sora, for example. And so that means if we go back to this kind of way of using the blockchain for every user action, or not lineups, etc., but market actions, great stuff can happen. You can have a loaning system that is built by somebody else or someone else, and you can have other marketplaces being built. So scalability and layer 2 solutions are more than welcome, but it takes time to build them. So I expect them to use maybe layer 2 solutions like in 6 months or something, Q4,
right.
Q3 and Q4 maybe.
Do you play around with any other NFTs?
I own like 5 CryptoKitties or something.
Okay.
And no, not really. I don't have, but I don't see any NFTs that have the same utility that Solar cards. So I'm pretty much like, man, no, it's just, I don't like crypto art, for example, because I'm not much a fan of art anyway. But I think like what's good with Solar is that you can use them a thousands of way, and that's not the same thing for CryptoKitties or crypto art. And anything that is not related to real life is very difficult to give an utility to, except if you build a whole game on the blockchain with NFTs.
So there's no way you would have gotten involved without the game itself?
Yeah, no way.
Yeah,
I don't collect football cards. I love Panini, but as a child, I didn't like buy football cards. So I think what does it for Soa is the fantasy football game, not the collection aspect.
So what you've obviously seen Soa change quite a bit over the last 2 years, I guess, a year and a half that you've been on it. Do you think it looks drastically different in a year?
Yeah.
And if it does, then, oh no, you think it's...
Yeah, it does.
Oh, okay.
It's like the new colors and the new the new pages are, that's crazy. And quite frankly, when like they did like some major changes like at the end of 2020, and I didn't like it at all. I was like, it's so much worse than before. But like when they introduced like new colors for lineups, builders, or you know, each division has its own color, etc. They did stuff that I know it's really difficult to do them, but sometimes they release stuff that is like, come on, like this flashing green. What do you want to do with it? But but at least they are no. But the great thing we saw is that they adapt.
Yeah.
And when they have feedbacks that say, hey, guys, don't do this, please, they just accept it and they don't take it personally or something. So they move on and do better. Like so, like one time they released like a recommended price for cards.
Yeah.
Like something I would never do because like it's the same thing as the expected score. Like if you recommend a price that is lower than the price that is paid on the market, for example, for the next car that is bought, you will get people say, hey, don't recommend anything. And what they were doing is basically the same thing. They were saying like, oh, you want to sell a starting goalkeeper? Oh, just say 0.0.1 for a goalkeeper that is like $20 or something. And people were like, don't do this if you can't do it correctly.
Yeah.
And the feature lasted like 6 hours or something.
Yeah, it was very quick, I remember.
Yeah.
I think one of the funny things, having been on the site for a while now, I joined in November, which feels like 10 years ago at this point. But the difference in the feedback channel on SoRare, the difference between the SoRare feedback and the SoRare data feedback is SoRare data feedback is suggestions that you either implement like very quickly or people kind of explain why whatever they're asking for, either sometimes it already exists and we just didn't know where it was, or other people kind of explain that what they're looking for really doesn't matter. It's something like that.
Yeah.
But like even listening back to some of the early SoRare podcasts, goalkeeper pricing and new scarcity has been a topic for 5 months now. Yeah. And obviously hasn't changed. We're seeing $1,000 MLS goalkeepers, $2,000 MLS goalkeepers at this point. So it's, those are getting a little crazy, but, I think your ability to get, ideas implemented on your own site. And obviously, you have a kind of the two ways of one, there's only one of you working on this.
Yeah.
But also because there's only one of you, you can do things fairly quickly. But it's like the fundamental big issues on SoRare are still kind of out there. And you luckily don't have to deal with those issues, but anything that somebody's looking for on So Rare data is kind of, it seems to be implemented right away.
Yeah.
So you're digging yourself in a little bit of a hole here, because the expectations are people give you a suggestion and within hours it's completed.
Yeah. But I really like to ship things fast, and actually I work in a way that I don't like to keep things on hold for too long.
Mm-hmm.
So if I build something, I'm going to release it like the next day or the next 6 hours after. So that's also why I'm not releasing big features like the next week or something. I just like, I do something, if it works, I release it, and that's fine. And sometimes it doesn't work, and people say, hey, it doesn't work, and I try to fix it. But what you say is interesting on Sora, because they have to deal with a free market, and that's a completely different story than mine, because I can do whatever I want on my website because it's mine, and basically if it pleases people, it's good. But yeah, goalkeeper pricing is something that is really difficult to change, because if you do something to lower the prices, then the guys who bought like for a crazy amount of money goalkeepers will say, hey, what are you doing to me? And it's the same thing about rewards for competitions. Like if they try to reduce the number of rewards or the number of players that get money in SO5 competitions, like people will get their forks out and say, don't do this. They tried to do it once, but I can assure you, I closed the website for 1 hour because the community was so mad, and I was so mad because they didn't consult anyone of the community before releasing changes. And it was obviously a bad change.
Mm-hmm.
And they said 1 hour later, okay, guys, we did a mistake. We'll go back to the old system. So that's fine. But sometimes they try to do stuff without involving the community because they think people will get too biased on if you ask Zero who has like 50 uniques, he will say, yeah, change the rewards for the D1 or the D2 because it suits me. But I think the community is clever enough to give them good recommendations for the well-being of the game overall. And but they have to do, deal with so many things that are completely different from me changing data or releasing a new feature.
I think one of the things that blew me away about the So Rare community is how pro So Rare they are, like the company itself. That obviously, as long as So Rare exists, then everything that we've bought has a value. So the company still being around is obviously a huge plus to everybody. But you just don't see that in a lot of other, certainly not other fantasy formats, or really any. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't bought any other NFTs, but it just doesn't seem like so many people are so pro So Rare in terms of like they want the companies to succeed. And I think it goes beyond just because if it doesn't, then we're all stuck with these digital cards that have no utility. But I don't know, that's one thing that just like blew me away about that, because the daily fantasy community in the States, I wouldn't say is the most pro business in terms of the companies that pro companies that run them. So it was almost enlightening to see how many people actually just like So Rare. And I think a lot of it is not just the transparency of the game that you display on your site, but just the transparency from the team of we're either thinking of doing this or we heard you and we're working on it. You just don't get that a lot in other games at all.
Yeah, definitely. And but I guess we'll see. I expect prices to go down a bit, like in the upcoming weeks or month. And I may be completely wrong about this, but with the cryptocurrency frenzy right now, with people buying NFTs for no absolute reason, and say, oh, let's spend $100 on something I don't like at all, but I think I can make a profit on it. But yeah. I guess we kind of see it already, like Mbappe price going a bit down, and we'll see if newcomers that have arrived during this kind of frenzy will still be pro Sorare after the prices have gone down. but I guess that
excuse me.
No problem. Nicolas and the team have like. Want to build a game accessible for everyone and playable by everyone. So I wouldn't be too, let's say, scared of the future of Sorare. And with the new scarcity, it will also let other people, because if I talk to my friend and say, hey, buy cards, they will say, why would I spend 500 euros on a Jupiler Pro League goalkeeper? I mean, Sinan Bolat. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
And he's a great goalkeeper, but you don't know him at all. So yeah, new scarcity will help things, but yeah, so as a great community, and I'm grateful for it, because that's also why I'm here, and that's also why Sorare Data is pretty successful. It has a great community, and even when sometimes people are a bit direct or I don't know expecting stuff that are built right now and fix this please now, it's a great community and it's a great fun to hang around.
I think going back to the goalkeeper thing, one of the reasons people like these cards so much is the scarcity, and like fundamentally they're just not that many of these cards for each player. Although I was halfway joking the other day that within 10 years, there are going to be so many Mbappe Sorare cards just because they start. He's young and he started. So like he actually will have his scarcity reduce every year because there are more and more. But then we complain about goalkeeper pricing. But like the goalkeepers are like the very definition of the scarce resource on a scarce game. So like I think there's obvious frustration because nobody wants to have to spend, you know, $500 on a MLS goalkeeper they've never heard of. But if you like the scarcity of the whole concept of Sorare cards, then you have to appreciate that there are just not as many goalkeepers. Yep. So that's where the scarcity comes from. But I just think it's dumb too. I at least want to say that I think it's awful that we have to spend that much, but I also get that scarcity is the reason why.
Yeah, but what can you do about it? I mean, you need a goalkeeper to build a team. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I see is having like a competition where you can like put an extra player at the place of a goalkeeper and have like a 20 to 30 or maybe 50% a penalty on this player and still have the ability to play. Or maybe allow goalkeeper commons on every division. But at the same time, if you change this, you will have people say, hey, you're giving newcomers an unfair advantage, and I don't like it. And I guess we'll see, but I don't think it will change at all.
I think there's going to be a side game created without goalkeepers, and I think it's going to fail. But I think we're going to see one.
Yeah, why not? I mean, who knows? Maybe Griezmann will sell all his goalkeepers, and I will have to do a Griezmann cup without goalkeepers.
Without goalkeepers, right? Right. I think I'm out of questions, and I've taken quite a bit of your time already.
No problem.
But to remind everyone, Sorare Data is the site on the website, SoRareData.com. Sorare Data as well on Twitter.
Yeah.
What's the bot address? Is it Sorare Data Bot?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't follow it, it's fantastic. It shows every auction and secondary and private offer of any card. Is it now $300?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to increase sometime. I actually unfollowed the account from my personal account because I was like in the middle of the night, you have nothing else other than Sora Databot.
It's I remember it used to be 150 and there was, I would see when I started, there were probably maybe 2 an hour. And I think at 150, it would just be a constant stream of of tweets. But anyway, Sora Data Bot to follow that, just if you're curious of like where prices are literally every
actually,
time.
It's Sorare Bot.
Oh, Sorare Bot. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's because Sorare asked me to do it. So
I did it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that is that. But yeah, please, everybody's listened. Sora Data has just been a fantastic addition to this Sora journey for me and for plenty of people. So Maxime, thank you for putting this all together.
No problem.
Really, we are very appreciative of all your work, especially since this is not your job, which is crazy to me that you can do all of this with a full-time job. So thank you for that. And thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thank you for having me. And it's always great to have a great conversation with someone who plays Sora and understand the game as you do. And keep your suggestions coming, and hopefully we'll build a future together soon also.
Sounds great.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.